So this is Growing Up in Christ Part 3. You know, last week, you know, we were talking about the little children, young men and fathers in these three categories. And, you know, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I mean, this is the first part. And then we were talking about Jesus being the bringer-inner. You remember the title? He to bring us in. To bring us in. And I think that's one of the things that we miss right there. We don't understand the purpose here, you know. And I tried to go over it a little bit last week. I know I'm butchering, I mess it up because I'm... But, you know, it's... the whole purpose was to bring us to the Father.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't about go to heaven when you die. It's about coming to the Father.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so we get these two categories, you know, where you're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell. That wasn't the point. I mean, if I'm spending eternity in the presence of the Father, obviously not in hell. But we throw it out there like a choice.
Yeah.
Would you rather burn or rather, you know what I mean? It is, the whole thing is coming to the Father, that you would know Him, that He would know you. That's the whole point. But I'm telling you, the reason these things are so hidden and so obscure is because we don't know Him. So we avoid the subject. So heaven is not knowing the Father. Heaven is going fishing, golfing. Heaven is, God forbid, a forever church service. Wouldn't that be terrible? I don't care who's preaching. I mean, really, I love church, but, you know, I mean, there's got to be more. You know, I think on these things, you know. But now in the early church, let me back up a little bit. You know, we're talking about these three categories. Now these things, you got to get them in context, okay? You got to get them in context. They was a couple of statements that set the people apart from the world. Today, guys, it's hard to tell the church from the world. And we see the church was never supposed to be hip and cool. You don't start a revolution on hip and cool. It doesn't work. These are they that turned the world upside down. They wasn't going around trying to be hip and cool and get everybody involved. Okay, today it is. It's hip and cool. And everything is slated to that because we figure that's how we're going to draw them in. We don't like Christ is crucified, the wisdom of God, the power of God, a bloody corpse hanging on a tree is not, it's not popular. You know? But here was one of the statements that set people apart from the world. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I say that and it just rolls off, you know, our ears like that's, you know, easy peasy. We say it today. Just, you know, come up front and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, I said it, you know, put my hand up. But you wasn't considered saved. You know what I mean? People ask you today, are you saved? I would really like to ask, you know, what do you mean? What did it mean to the early church that you were saved? That you've been born again? Okay, and I can tell you, and until you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and were baptized, you weren't considered a part of the church. Okay, but understand when they made the confession, the reason they had to make this confession was because they had to pay tribute to Caesar. And I want you to understand, you're a non-Roman citizen. So you must make a public confession that Caesar is Lord. You understand that? Just like you right now, you make a, whether you like it or not, you come up and you make a public confession, so-and-so is my president. Okay? You see what I mean? So here they are in a dictatorship to where Caesar could at any moment say, off with your head. Or that would be easy. He could say, feed them to the lions. Or he could say, pour pitch on them and set them on fire. They did that. So you understand what I'm saying. You just didn't run around and jump up and down at the mall going around saying Jesus Christ is Lord. This thing could very and probably cost you and your family your life. So it wasn't a confession to be taken lightly. So you're brought to this point. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. And here comes you. I can't say Caesar's Lord because he's not my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And you see, I'm not going to say that unless I've had a witness of the Spirit in my heart, or I'd be a stupid idiot. You know what I mean? I would be an idiot if I didn't have that inner witness. And that you're not going to have that until you're born again. So this sets you apart. Okay, it wasn't hip, but it wasn't cool. And let me tell you something. When the church is hip and church is cool, it ain't church. Get away from it. I promise you. Now, I'm not saying that we got to be ugly just to be ugly. That's not what I'm saying either. But I'm saying just to be hip and just to be cool to try to get people to come, you've lost it. I mean, it's Jesus Christ is Lord. Things of the gospel are offensive to the world. They just are. They just are. We try to dumb them down. Listen, I've been there. I've tried to say certain things that were given to us in the church are not important. And it is so easy to let them slip. Things slip. They go over. They become legend. They're dropped away. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, just in my lifetime, I'm not going down this road, okay, but I just want to make mention of this. In my lifetime, coming up in the Primitive Baptist, and thank God for them and wherever you guys came up, but there were some things that we got right. There's a lot of things we got wrong. Some things we got right. But you know, it was common for us to have baptisms all the time. One point in time, we baptized, Dad didn't baptize 13 one shot. I mean, you know, it was just common. We were always going and baptizing. I mean, people don't do it anymore. Because we think, well, all y'all are old school. You know what I mean? Y'all are old school. We don't need baptism anymore. You know, we let those things slip. It is important. See, these things were a public profession of my faith that I don't belong to the world anymore. I'm dead to it. Now, what do you do with a dead person? You take them out and you bury them. You bury them in the water, and I'm raised to walk in newness of life. There's something to it. I'm telling you, I wished I had. The best preacher I've ever heard on baptizing was my great uncle, Stuart Owens. Now, buddy, I'm telling you, when he preached, he was ready to go get rebaptized. But, I mean, he could just... And he talked about how when you lay down in that water, when you got up, how that burden was gone. And you know what? If you've never done that, then you don't know. But if you've done that, trust me, something left me in that water and washed away. It really did, God. I ain't lying to you. I was a youngin', but something left me in that water. And you're walking around on cloud nine for a little while, you know? But I mean, that... And there's a profession there. Jesus Christ is Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus Christ is Lord. So this early church, they wouldn't even consider you as part of the church until these things had taken place. Now, you know, it's what they preach. You wouldn't count it in. That was the basic early confession of my faith. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm baptized. The next, now see, that's my profession unto the world, right? Jesus Christ is my Lord, I'm telling the world that. And almost think of this, like, one, I've got you as an audience, and I'm telling the world, Caesar's not my Lord, Jesus Christ is my Lord. The next profession is not for the world. It's as if I turn around and I say, Abba, Father. My next profession is unto Him. You understand what I'm saying? You know what just happened there? Repentance. Because repentance is I turned.
Yes.
I turned from, I've made my public profession to you. You're not my Lord. I've got no more dealings with you. You see what I mean? I'm done with. As a matter of fact, I'm so done with you that I'm dead to you. When you're dead to somebody, that's it. It's over. So I didn't just turn my back, and now my life is completely under Abba. You understand what I mean? So, and yes, godly sorrow worketh repentance. You understand? Because you know what happens in our Christian life is, yeah, here we are with this unto God, but we hear a lot of stuff going on back over here. We hear a lot of, and then we got to work in it, and then eventually I'll be kind of sideways. You know what I mean? He's talking in this ear, and they're talking. And finally, I'll be plumb turned back around this way. Guys, it happens. It happens to every one of us. And I got to be rescued again. And then there's a repentance of what I did. I got to turn back around. You understand? And listen, I understand it. It's not that I've lost my standing. It's not I got to go back to God, because we think in the church my repentance is I got to come up, oh God, you know, I heard the world and I'm sorry I sinned. And you don't think He knows?
Yeah.
My Lord, He was with you.
Yes.
He was with you when you was doing it. But I just turned. So it's unto God. That's what I sing to Him. It's what He sings back to me. It's personal.
Yeah.
It's not speaking about Him. If I'm speaking about Him, then I got my back turned to Him. You understand? It's a talking to Him. It's a running into His arms. You know, Steve got them little grandbabies. Man, today's Lily's birthday. She's 3. And, you know, no matter what's going on, and you know how you're playing with kids and doing all this stuff, and the little twins, they're in everything. But here they are walking around, and you know, they're walking around, and they got their little diapers on. You know what I mean? So they got the little poofy britches. Not poopy, poofy. Because they got diapers, and they're walking around. But you know what happens when they get scared? Immediately. Where's Daddy? You know, they're looking. Running so fast they'll fall over anything and just leap into His arms. See, we got that. Except you become as a little child. We got that. Because that's what little children do, you know. But our problem is we start growing up and we start thinking, well, I can handle it. I can handle it. I got this. Let me show you how grown up I am. He says, all right. And you know, I was holding one up there the other night, and, you know, people will play little scaredy games with them, and you know that one of them. I never know which one's which. Identical twins. I don't know. They're going to have to get a tattoo. I don't know who's who. Nova and Sela. I don't know. But she gets scared and I'm holding her, she'll hide her face right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're dead and your life is hidden with Christ and God.
Yes.
You ever think about that? Well, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, I can just see somebody knocking on the door. Where's he at? Where's he at? He ain't here.
No.
You're hidden. No. Can't find you. You understand what I mean? You're hidden.
No.
You're hidden. And you know, you can't fake that. And I'm telling you, circumstances in life will find you out. They will find out how tough you are. How much you got it together. When I see people who's got it together, I just say, well, good for you. When you need prayer, holler. She will. You know. And see, I mean, I discovered something. Just last night. I never think about these things, but we are such circumstantial people. My God, we're so circumstantial. See, we don't really understand what joy is. We're into happiness. And happiness has to do with happenings. That's where the word comes from. So in other words, if all the happenings around me are good, then I'm happy. If the happenings ain't good, then I'm sad. So in other words, the world is dictating to me my state of being. So everything is predicated on circumstances and the people involved in them circumstances. You understand?
Yes.
So what we really want God to do and how our prayer is based, because we get in these circumstances, is, okay, circumstances are happening to me. I'm not happy because the circumstances beat me down. It's crushing me. So I start praying what? God, fix the circumstance. You know, I mean, go just check your prayer line and see how much of it is you want God to fix your circumstance. So he's a big fixer. You call in the fixer, the cleaner. You know, and he comes in and fixes the circumstances. And I'm not saying, guys, that what about when he don't? And this is why, guys, I'm not real popular. Because I'm telling you, sometimes he don't change the circumstances. I'm telling you the truth. And if we don't know who he is, we'll turn our back on him and go away because he let me down. Because I thought God, who loved me, is supposed to be the fixer and always change my circumstances. But let me tell you something, guys. He didn't. I mean, there's times when people's praying and you're let out of prison. Oh, yeah. There are times when you're walking on the water and there are times you're going to spend all night in the lion's den and you ain't getting out. Just, I'm telling you, this ain't popular. You know what I mean? But why? Why so? So that you'll know him. So that just sometimes he's got to trap you up. Sometimes he's got to trap you up where it's just you and him. And we're crying the blues, me and him. And this is what I discovered. See, I'm over here praying from a separated, and I'm like, God, you know, you see the circumstance. This circumstance is crushing me. Now you, Abba Father, if you really love me, you will come down and fix the circumstance. But you know what I found out? Is that whole view is a view of separation. He's over there. I'm here trying to get him over here. We talked about this. I'm here in the boat. There's a storm. What are we going to do? But you see, he's jumping up and down. He was saying, wait a minute. I'm in this with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in this with you, but this circumstance is crushing me. And what's he saying? It's crushing me too. Well, wait, I don't understand. How can it be crushing you? You're God. Because he's in me. And I haven't learned to live from his strength. I'm trying to get through it with my strength. I'm trying to fix the happenings so that I can be happy. He didn't say that your happiness would be full. I come that your joy might be full so that you could learn to have joy in the prison.
Yeah.
And guys, going through that is not always pleasant. But I'm not here to tell you about the pleasantries of it. I'm telling you about knowing the Father, and sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth, guys. That's why I can't stand sometimes for people always to come up and you know, the public, oh gosh, it just, I want to squeeze my head sometimes. I just, you know, they come up, the people who's sitting in the middle of it, who's there and their heart is broken, and the guy comes up and say, you're about to get your breakthrough. I want to punch him in the eye. I really and truly do. It makes me mad. You're about to get your breakthrough. Listen, sometimes the circumstances are not going to change.
Right.
Listen to what I'm telling you. There could be deaths in the family. That those circumstances aren't changing. And except the Lord come in and heal the matter, that circumstance is there. What are we going to do with the elephant in the room? You understand what I'm telling you? What are we going to do with our kids that are strung out on drugs and in and out of jail? What are we going to do? The circumstances are there. Yeah, Lord, it'd be good. Come and fix them. Put magic dust on it. But, Lord, these things are crushing me. I mean, have you ever just felt that? You ever felt so lonely, so isolated, so all alone, and you're wondering, where, God, are you? I mean, I'm in the depths up here, the lion den. God, have you left me? You know what I got to do? Sometimes I got to wake up, smell the smelling sauce. He promised me,
yes,
I'll never leave you. There's
yes,
a covenant right here in His blood that says, you know what? You can't be alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never, ever, ever. I'm with you in this. I want to be your strength in this. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be your health in this thing. I'm talking about knowing the Father here. Yeah, you understand? He's my Abba. The only way I know that is through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I've got to stretch you here a little bit. If I only know Jesus Christ, if I only know Jesus as Lord, if I only know Christ, there's a great gap in my spiritual life. Now listen, I grew up, we didn't really want much to do with the Father. You know? Didn't know much about the Holy Spirit, so we're learning all about Jesus. And you know, there's worse things to do, but still yet it leaves me a great gap. Listen, and you're looking at me like, oh, this guy's crazy. But listen, there's a great gap between a little child and a father. You understand what I'm saying? There's a great gap. A great gap. I mean, all the potential might be there in Lily. She's 3 years old, but I ain't letting her drive me back to the house. I don't care if she can reach the pedals. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that my sins are forgiven. They're gone through what Christ has did, but have you ever just sit down and think, why? Well, you ever ask that question? Why did He forgive you? I mean, you ever just ask Him, why did you forgive me? I mean, so, oh yeah, He forgave the world. Well, whoop-de-doo, that's great. What about me? I mean, we get afraid to say what about me, but sometimes, you know, I got to go ask, Lord, why did you forgive my sins? I know they're forgiven, and sometimes I feel like Paul, I think the only verse Paul ever lied in is when he said, I'm chief of sinners, because I want to say, no, Paul, I am. And if you have never been in the presence of the glory, you don't know what that is, but you feel that very thing, and you get clothed with righteousness, and the whole time I'm thinking, why? Why? You could have went to much better, more elegant people, people that could draw crowds, people that had it all together, you know what I mean? People that had clout. Why me? I wasn't even looking for it. You know what I mean? When I grew up, and the teacher says, oh, little Jim, what do you want to be when you grow up? You think I jumped up and down and said, I want to be a preacher? No, only the weirdo kids did that. We jumped up and said, I want to be an astronaut. I want to win the Olympics. I want to be quarterback. You know, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a preacher. We would have took you off to special class. I wasn't looking for it. Why are my sins gone? Sometimes we got to put down the old hymns that we sing. You know what I mean? and say why. What are we talking about here? I mean, what's all this about? I mean, how are my sins forgiven? Went over that last week, but I mean, I understand how, but why? The why still gets me. And you know, when we let the Holy Spirit come into our hearts, it tears up a lot of stuff. I can show you in the Bible where there's a lot of tearing down. It really is. And you know what? We've sung songs here, and I've heard some of you guys complain about the words of the songs. And I'm glad that you're paying attention. And I say continue to pay attention, because if we're singing songs that's not reflecting what we're preaching and advocating, we need to change the words or do away with the song. I don't care if it's got a catchy rhythm, that's good, but if the song is not where we're at, then we need to change it. And that's okay. And just you're free to speak out. Okay? Sometimes I don't catch everything, and I've changed the words to other songs, but you know, we let the Holy Spirit go. Have you ever been singing a song, guys, that we sing up here, and you get to that verse, you say, wait a minute, I don't believe a word of that. I don't even like that. Well, let's fix it. You know, that's the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Wait a minute. Because there were songs that we used to sing. You know, we had a different hymn book. You know, a lot of you guys might have grown up with the Redback hymnal. We grew up with a hymn book called the Goble. I go back and I look at some of them songs and I think, golly, bum, these are funeral songs. I wouldn't sing them at a dog's funeral. I mean, just pitiful. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, I can't sing. There's a new song in my heart. Yeah. And I can't sing it. And plus the words wasn't even true. You know, that was one of the songs. It was one of Dad's favorites. And listen, the words in that song are strong and powerful. But here's the one thing that always got me about that song. It didn't have the relationship. It's called Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. You guys heard that song? Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Oh, and listen, but it showed our view of the Father. He was a great God over there to God. He wasn't a father. Now, you understand? Now, when I look at that song, I'm like, wait a minute. Where's the song about I get on Father's lap and He carries me back? Yeah, you understand? I mean, it's just so I look and I think, is this reflecting my relationship? The words, I mean, that's powerful words. So we let this Holy Spirit come. When I'm just letting Him reflect what my heart is saying. When I talk about this forgiveness, I feel like the biggest failure on the planet sometimes. You know, I do. I think, why me? And then when I look at it, I look around the church and all this preaching, all these meetings, all this study. I mean, is all of that just so I don't go to hell? Is all that just so you don't go to hell? Is that it? I mean, look what we're doing here. It's just a comparison. It's got to be more. But see, I didn't know what was more. I didn't know why. See, if I don't know that Jesus took away my sins in order that, I would be brought into the family. You remember when He brought them out of Egypt? I mean, why did He bring them out of Egypt? Oh, you're my people. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. All right, skip-de-doo-da-day. He said, I'm bringing you out to establish you in my mountain. There was a purpose I brought you out. And there was a purpose He brought you out. What was the purpose He brought you out? He brought you out to establish you You know what established is? That means I got a rooted, solid foundation. I'm established. When you're hollering up there saying, look at him, he's a waste of time, he'll never amount to anything, I'm established because I know he didn't just forgive my sins, there was a reason for it. Because so he could establish me in the family. In the family. You know, I like old, I ain't supposed to say this at church, some of y'all scrub this out. I like watching old mafia stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kathy's shaking her head. She watches it too. She's Sopranos. I can see it. But you know, they got a term in the mafia. It's called your made man. You know, when you get to a certain point, you're made. That means don't mess with him. He's a made guy. And every time I think of it, I think, my good Lord, I'm made. I'm a made guy. I'm made in the image and likeness of him. I'm a made guy. And the word went out to all the other people in the mob and on the streets that said, look, he's a made man. Better not lift a finger at him. See, the word has went out all over the world. This one's mine. He belongs to me. He's a made man.
Yes.
He's mine. You see, that's why Jesus took away my sin. That's why he died. So that I could be a made man. Now, I know that sounds crazy. If people hear this, they'll think this guy's lost his mind. Well, I have. But see, if I don't understand that, you know what? There's a great gap there. And there's a gap that just, I'm sitting here and I've been saved. Yes, I've been born again. My sins are forgiven. But what do I do now? So I just sit here and wait to go to heaven. So there's a great gap there. So here we are in the churches trying to fill the gap up with all these other things. That one of these days, and I'm not saying that one of these days you won't go to heaven. Okay? But if I don't know what I'm talking about now, there's a great gap. Great gap. Very little joy. Very little celebration. Very little of any of the stuff that's been promised to us. Now listen, that's knowing Christ here on the other side of it. Well, let me finish that off. You're saved to know the Father. That's why you've been saved, to know the Father. And listen, if I only know the Holy Spirit, and we've been taught that the Holy Spirit is power. Right? Power. That's what we've been taught about the Holy Spirit. He's power. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll have power. And we don't understand what that verse means. You'll have power to go do exploits. And the churches, all they want is exploits. And I want signs. There's a church going up the roads. The church is called Signs and Wonders. And then, you know, come in here and we'll work signs. And so come in here. To me, I'm thinking, you know, that's like when I go down to Dollywood and I'm standing over there watching the guy go to a magic show and he makes the ball disappear and come back again. Wow, I see power. So it's power. Power. You know how we used to say it? Now, you guys were different. Some of y'all was Pentecostal, but here was our view of power. When the Holy Spirit comes, then I will be able to stand on the White House steps and preach the gospel because I'll have power. You know what I mean? That means right now I'm a wimp, but when the Holy Spirit gets on me, I'll be able to preach on the White House step. See, so that's power. So the Holy Spirit is just power, power, power. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, he won't leave you what? Comfortless. He won't let that word there is fatherless. He didn't say when the Holy Spirit has come, you're going to be able to walk up and preach. He says, you won't feel like an orphan anymore. There will be a witness in your heart that you're a made man, that you've been saved to be part of the family. If you never preach a word in your life, it matters not. You're in the family.
Right.
Maybe you're just the guy in the family that sits at the table and eats all the time. Knock yourself out. Table set. So, you know, I always think of the I know I get these weird pictures in my mind, but you guys ever watch that show, I believe it's called Hook with Robin Williams? He's Peter Pan. And they sit down at the table and they're pretending to eat. Then all of a sudden, all the turkey legs and all the food appears. And I always think all these kids are sitting at the table and they're having a food fight and they're just eating. Every time I think, wow, there's a table set. And all these little misfits are going to come to that table. And that's what this whole table was full of. It was full of daggone misfits. People who wasn't a part of a family because they were misfits. They lived in Never Never Land. And guess what, guys? All us misfits ain't misfits anymore. He sets members into his body as he sees fit. No longer a misfit, but a made man. Brought, I got a table, a chair set up there that's got my name on. But I'm not there for my name's sake. I'm there in his name's sake. You understand? I mean, why do I have the Holy Spirit? That's what I'm talking about. Why do I have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is that witnesses to me, Abba Father. Witnesses to me, I'm part of the family. I'm not saying there won't be exploits. And, oh, yeah, there'll be all that stuff. But the reason is, so I'm saying Abba Father. And see, that's what gets me when God is about to, you know. I think you missed it. 2,000 years too late. He done did it. And then we have these terms, you know, if you'll come to our church, then we'll find out what the will of God is for you, for your life. I've heard that. You know, come to our church and we'll pray over you and we'll find out what God's will for you is. And it's always, you know, I've told you, nobody ever prophesies, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt be ordinary. You ever heard a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit? No, it's thou shalt preach to millions. Thou shalt have the biggest ministry. Thou shalt have a music ministry. Thou shalt have a children's ministry. Thou shalt walk on the water. Oh, praise God, yeah. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt be ordinary. Thou shalt just live in obscurity, and thou shalt just be a good mommy and a good dad. We don't want that. Give me something great. Find the will of God for my life. Listen, the will of God lives in you. And you're there on this great adventure of discovery called knowing the Father. That's what this whole, that's the will of God. We missed the whole thing. I've been around where doctrine has been in. Doctrine. Got to know doctrine. Got to have the doctrine. I can't mess up the doctrine. I mean, we've got to have, you know, the doctrine. A, B, C, D, E. The doctrine's got to be right. So what? What if you get the doctrine all out of whack? Trust me, if you ain't yet, you will. Listen, if this thing isn't practical in day-to-day life, right here, right now, I say, so what? I mean, I go through life, and so what if I have these explosions of power and praise? That's great. That's great. But if that's all it is, then what happens when I've been hit upside the head my life? What happened when I'm down and out and busted up in the corner and all the storms are coming in on me? I'm thrown in Daniel's lion den. What happens then when there ain't no exploits of power? See, if I don't know him, then I'm going to get messed up. And I'm going to be thinking this, all these happenings again. You with me? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? I mean, there'll be churches that, and I'm telling you, it's a great gap. There'll be churches today saying, send the fire, send the fire. You guys ever sing that song? Send the fire. And I know what they mean. You know, yeah, it sounds good. It's almost like you came into the presence of God this morning. You know, when you came in the building, you came into the presence of God. Well, that's not true. So if you came in this building, and this is the presence of God, where were you in the parking lot? Out of the presence of God? Because if I'm saying you came in here in the presence, meaning out there you wasn't in the presence. So now we're back to separation. You understand? things have come into every part of the church. And now this is God's house. And he lives here. And if it was his house, he didn't help us do squat up here. You remember when we were sweating, cutting woods, and pulling nails out, thinking, where are you at, Lord? And he's like, oh, no, when y'all get the building done, I'll show up. You know, I'm saying, Lord, if this is your house, there was snakeskins in the wall and mice back over here in this corner over here. I mean, where was you at? Why'd you let all this stuff come in here? Just silly stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, and I know this, guys. When the Holy Spirit came into my life in a new way, yeah, it's wow. It's bigger than wow, but where do we go from here? Yeah, we can enjoy this, but where do we go from here? And I'll tell you, to know the Father. That's what this whole thing is about, to know the Father. And you're not going to get that from me teaching you. You're going to get this one-on-one.
That's right.
That's where you're going to get this. My sins are forgiven. In order that, I come to know the Father. And the Holy Spirit comes in order that with His energy, I live in the Father's presence. You understand? That's how I can know Him, because I'm living in His presence everywhere. When I say living in His presence, in an experienced, spiritually felt way. You know. You understand what I'm saying? Now, knowing God as my Father introduces me to the fact, to the truth of what? If He's my Father, I must be His child. I must be His son. Can't have one without the other. He's not sometimes. Sometimes not. You know what I mean? And if that's so, now listen to what I'm telling you. And just check out your own witness. Check out other people you know. If that's the case, I'm a son, He's my Father, then I'm not just a convert. You understand? I'm not just a convert to Christianity. Anybody can be a convert. You know, people convert to things all the time. People listen to new religion and they'll come up, hey, I'm going to convert and be a Buddhist. Oh, well, great. I'm going to convert and be a Roman Catholic. I'm going to convert and be a Baptist. I'm going to convert and be Islamic. You can't convert and be a son. You see what I mean? It means I'm not just a believer that went to church some Sunday morning and got coaxed into making a decision. And I walk around and say, I'm a believer. You know what? I mean, and I know this is crazy, but right there sits my dad, and I don't walk around and say, I'm a believer. I was like, oh, yeah, he's my dad. Because there's a relationship there. I don't walk around. Well, I went to church one Sunday, and I confessed, and now I'm converted, and now he's my dad. I was born into this thing. You understand? I was born into this thing. So I'm not just a believer. I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm not just a convert. Then I simply turn from what I was. See, if I'm a believer, that means I'm believing on Jesus. If I made a decision that I'm going to try and do better for Jesus. Y'all heard people say that? Oh, I want to do better for Jesus. But when I get to the heart of this matter, I realize I've been birthed into a family by the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. God is now my Father. And having that confidence in who He is brings me to the confidence in who I am. I know myself. You know, He sends a Spirit into our hearts that cries, Abba, Father. But it also says something else. There in Romans, let me get that verse, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You ever think about that? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Do you ever just let that sink in a little bit? What the heck does that mean? If I'm an heir, then that means I'm an heir to all that God is. I will be your God. I'm an heir to everything He is. I'm an heir to that. I'm an heir to that. You know, just on the common side, Dad's got some guns, you know, he come to me and he says, "You want this?" But why did he do that? He didn't ask you if you wanted it. Because I'm his son. And he come to me and says, "You want this?" Because it's his, and he wants me to have it. Now this is on the earthly side. You being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more so does your Father in heaven know how to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit? And he comes to me, the Holy Abba Father comes to me, and he just asks me, "Do you want this?" You understand what I'm saying? Do you want this? Well, I didn't even know what it was. I had never even thought about it. And you understand what I'm saying here? Just because you're in the family, heirs of God. And you know, that means I have the right to go ask Him, "Can I have that?" I don't know if you get what I'm saying. When I say an heir of God, I mean, I know that sounds vague. But I want you to understand, to discover what it means to be an heir of God. How would I discover that? By looking at my fellow heir. Who is my fellow heir? My fellow heir is Jesus Christ. So how was he an heir of God? Because I'm an heir of God in the same way he was. Because he's my older brother. Right? He's my older brother. So he was the first one to live on earth as an heir of God. He was it. He was the first one. And now that I've been born into the family, I'm on earth. I'm an heir of God just like he was. What it means is, you know what it says right here in this verse, if we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. Now listen, I don't want you to think of this martyrdom thing, but I dare say this, that the same kind of obedience, you remember we talked about Jesus and his obedience to the Father? "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass, but your will be..." It means that same obedience within that Jesus walked with Abba will be reflected in my life. As you grow in these things, it will be. It will become reflected in your life. Fruit bearers. Okay? To be an heir of God is to say he's Abba. It means the same kind of love that Jesus put on display to the world will be seen in me. How can I say that? Because the love of God is what? Shed abroad in my heart. And it'll come out. It just like it did in Jesus, in him, by him, through him. It's the same. Jesus was the first one on earth to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was. And now we, through his finished work, have been immersed, baptized into the same Holy Spirit. And we, his body now on earth, live and move and have our being in him, the Holy Spirit. Our lives display the fruit of the Spirit. That's being an heir of God. I walk knowing that I'm cared for. Cast all your cares on the Lord. Why should I cast my cares on the Lord? Do you know what that means? Cast your cares on the Lord. I mean, do you ever just think about these things? What does that mean? How do I do that? Because I used to think, how do I cast my cares on the Lord? Well, I wish somebody would have told me this 30 years ago. I talk to Him, and I tell Him with boldness, freedom of speech, exactly how I feel. What I'm going through, how scared I am, how mad I am, how upset I am, how I ain't got a clue, how I don't know what He's doing. I cast my care upon Him. That's how you do it. It's not, that's how you do it. Listen, I know that I'm cared for. I'm just going to give you a few verses here and we'll be done. In Matthew, listen to this. Matthew 6, starting verse 25. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, that's red letters. Jesus is saying to you, that's me. Jesus is saying to me, I just got to be right down. Because sometimes I'm tossed to and fro, and I'm up and down. But Jesus is talking to me here, Bev. He's talking to me. He's personal. I love how this... Let me go back here. Let me just show you something. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. This is how the sermon went. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. Now, you know what happened? Jesus got up there and He sat down. He just sat down. He said, I will talk to y'all. See, we think He's preaching and hands raising and He's floating around. And He just sat there and He says, I'm going to talk to you. And this is what He says right here. He says, and I'm saying unto you, I'm going to talk to you. Take no thought for your life. What you'll eat or what you'll drink. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? I mean, it's Jesus sitting down. He's talking to me. And He says, behold, the fowls are there. He says, look at those birds over there. Look at them birds over there flying into trees and jumping around limb to limb and chirping. They don't plant no gardens and they don't go gather cucumbers. They don't put their food up in the barn. Hey, you don't see birds with the barns. But you know what? Your heavenly Abba feeds them. Every one of them. And are you not much better than they? I mean, this Jesus just sitting down talking to you. Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit, one inch to your stature? And why take you thought for raiment, the clothes that you go for? Consider the lilies of the field. He says, come on out here, let me show you the flowers. Look at how they grow. You ever just saw them look at how the flowers grow? I mean, they don't work hard at it. They don't do squat. They don't get up and go to work. They're not sweating it. The bugs can land on them and they don't try to shoo them away. They say, come on in. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith! Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith will we be clothed? After these things do the Gentiles seek. This is the way of the world. This is called economics. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's He talking about? Now you get what the kingdom of God is? Knowing the Father. Put that above it all. And when you learn Him, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me go get you another one. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. You'd be strong. But yet, when I'm weak, I'm strong. But he's telling me, Moses is writing this, and this is getting these words from God. And he's saying, look, I brought you out so you could go in and possess the land, that you could take it, that you could go in there, a land that I've given you. I've given you means, guess what? You're a joint heir. You're an inheritor here. Go in and take this land, and you'll be strong in taking this land, and that you may prolong your days in the land. Boy, this ain't, we got to scratch this out, because I thought your days were numbered. I thought that if it was your time to go, I don't care if you're 7 years old, you're out of here. But right here it says that you may prolong your days. We're at in the land I've given you, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed. Guess who their seed is? Their seed is Christ. And Christ is in you, and you're his very body. And there was a covenant made for this very thing. And this is a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. And this is what I've been trying to say. This ain't like the world. This ain't got nothing to do with the world. It's got nothing to do with Egypt. It's got nothing to do with bondage. Nothing to do with that stuff. It's not that way. It's not the way from which you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. Let me read that whole thing again. For the land where you go to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from where you came out, where you sowed the seed and waterest it with thy foot and the garden bare herbs. Okay? I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. Because in that world, we'll have to go here one day. It's reaping and sowing. I do good, I get good. I do bad, I get bad. He said, this land ain't like that. Possess. And listen to what he says. Here's the land where you're going. It's a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. This land where you're going ain't like Egypt, where you was out there scraping dirt and doing all this. This land is watered by the dew, the rain of heaven. This hills and this valleys, a land, and here's what got me, a land which the Lord thy God, a land which the Lord your God, that your God that swore by himself because he could swear by no other, a God that has committed it, drew it out in his own blood. This is a land that your God has swore, my God has swore, that he careth for it. He cares for it. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. See, when I read that last night, I thought, my Lord and my God, his eyes are ever on me. And he cares for me. Every thought that he has is that I might know him and to bring me in. And his eyes are ever, I'm never out of his sight. This ain't a land like Egypt where, oh, you're lost in the crowd. I'm a son. I'm a son, and he careth for me. You're sons and daughters, and you've been brought into a land with hills and valley that's watered by the very hand of God, and he careth for his land, he careth for his people, and his eyes are ever upon it. And it says here, from beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. I don't know if you get a hold of that, but this same resurrection power that the Father raised Jesus up from the dead lives in you. And listen, guys, I don't know, and I'm going to be done here. I don't know how all these things work out. I believe in the coming of the Lord, the ever unfolding of his righteousness. You with me there? I know it's beyond my wildest dreams this inheritance. That's my inheritance. And I do want to tell you this, guys. The Bible doesn't talk much about that. This Bible is for here and now. It really is. And the Scripture tells me that we have the pledge, the earnest. Now think about this. If the earnest of my inheritance is I am complete in Him. You ever think about that? The earnest of my inheritance is I'm complete in Him right now. Filled to the brim, complete in Him. That's just the earnest? Ha, I mean, come on. You ever think about these things? You see, but we try to bring them down into earthly matters and we try to describe it with earthly stuff. And listen, my mind can't even comprehend. And listen, I know that there's more. You know, and I'm saying the resurrection lives in me. I'm not saying there's not a resurrection. Because look, this body I got is getting wore out. And it hurts and aches me sometimes. I've got another body, but I'm living in eternity now, but I'll be living in eternity then. You see, I can't explain it. It's not someplace I go to. It's here, it's now, but it's ever coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? The love of God is in my heart. I live and move in the kingdom of heaven now. But this ain't all of the kingdom of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? And it's so far beyond. I'll give you one last verse. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right. You know what that word is? The authority, the pledge, the authority to become sons of God. He gave you the right. He gave you the right. To as many as embraced Him. To as many as received Him. To as many as embraced Him, He gave to them the right, the privilege to become His children. And He sends His Spirit into my heart that says, you know what? You are. Because I look around and I say, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm a son or if I'm not. I know I really messed up today. I really blew it. But He sent His Spirit in there, and He doesn't just witness one time. He is ever living witness in my heart, reminding me over and over and over. I don't care what you did, Bev. I don't care what you thought, Bev. You're still my daughter. You're still, and the Holy Spirit is in me all the time saying, you're still mine. I'm still yours. I'm committed to you. I care for you. I've ever given myself to you. You are loved beyond what you can even imagine. Whispers in my heart. And I respond to that. I respond to that whisper by saying, Abba, Father. And you realize the moment that you were born again, all of that happened to you? You don't get these things in stages. There's no stages. You're completed. Now it's just a matter of growing up, learning who we are, and we're never going to know who we are till we know who He is. So this whole thing is about knowing Him. Okay, this is the whole things that I'm talking about. I know sometimes it. You know, we get so pointed in other directions and we lose focus. And the focus is knowing Him, knowing who He is. Okay, ain't about going to heaven when you die. That's taken care of. You know, that's why I don't get into all these other things. You know, that's why I said sometimes, you know, I go to work and I listen to people's word about getting chips in their hands and rapture. If I'm His son and He's my father, I don't have nothing to worry about. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I just read you the verses. Jesus sat down and says, come on, guys. Why are you worried? I don't care how it works out. What if I'm right? What if I'm wrong? Who cares? Who cares? I'm His. He's committed to me. If I get it right, good. If I get it wrong, who cares? If there's a rapture or the interrapture, who cares? I'm His. He cares for me. It's about knowing Him. That's all that matters, guys. That is it. Take no thought for the rest of it. Take no thought. You understand what I mean? Who cares? Well, Jesus gave all this for warning. I'm telling you, that was for confidence so that I can know no matter what, I'm His and He's mine. And I've been marked. Okay? There's a mark of the beast and there's a mark of the Lamb. And I've been marked with the mark of the Lamb. You know what? I'm a made man. I'm a made man. Not for my name's sake, for His name's sake. I'm a made man. I can't undo the mark. Okay? I can't mess it up. I can't undo it. It's already done. I've been bought with His blood, sealed, redeemed. I'm His. And ever how it works out, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And everything He's doing is so that I would know Him and that He would know me. That you may know Him and Him whom is sin. I'll get out of the way, y'all.